cellar dweller's got the energy, yeah. You can subscribe to our vibe. Cellar dweller's got the energy, yeah. You can subscribe to our vibe.
Dweller Talk with the freaker from your speaker, Go-Go McSprinkles.
Hello, my lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Dweller Talk, the podcast where we talk about Keller Williams and his music. So for this week's episode, I had the pleasure of having Locke McShane come to my house, and we recorded in my living room. It's pretty awesome. I record all my episodes in my Jam Jams, but to be sitting in my living room in my Jam Jams talking to Mr. Locke McShane, it was pretty awesome. So here's our great conversation. All right, so I'm here with Locke McShane. I'm in my house, in my pajamas, chatting with Locke. Hi, Locke. How are you doing today?
Hi, Go-Go. Doing good.
Good. So, real quickly, you've traveled kind of across the country to make a boat, correct?
Yes. I built called an Annapolis Wherry, which is a sliding seat rowboat.
Oh, wow. And it's really, really long. How long did you say it was?
18 feet long. About 3 feet wide.
Nice. Pretty decent sized boat. So where are you planning to row your boat?
I am planning on rowing my boat in one of probably two lakes to start. There's Stagecoach Reservoir south of Steamboat and Steamboat Lake north of Steamboat.
Wow. That's pretty nice that you've got options. So, Mr. Locke McShane, let's talk about your stage at username. Why did you make your username Locke McShane?
Because that is my name.
That's your real name.
Yes.
I find that fascinating because I think it's like a cartoon superhero name, like the one and only Locke McShane. Like, I think it's an epic name, and I appreciate it very much, and I love that it's your real name.
Everybody has said it's an actor's name, but I can't act.
I just think that's really cool.
And then somebody, I guess it was in Discord, suggested Mock McShane, which is moving it around, but that had never entered my mind before. And now that Stage It won't let me change the name without losing my history, I'm stuck with it.
Yeah, you're stuck with Mock McShane. I remember the first time you used that name and Stage It, how it tripped up Keller and he chuckled over it. I really like that moment, so I'll have to interject it, right?
Sanders' brother, Mock McShane, Mock McShane, Mock McShane, Kelsey 228.
Okay.
I found that having actual pauses makes it easier to interject the song, so I've started actively trying to pause. Okay, so we got the introduction. Let's talk a little bit about your life before you found Keller. I'm dying to hear about your first moment, but I want to get to know the pre-Keller Locke McShane. I almost believe that there wasn't one, like you were born and you knew Keller.
No. I guess my life pre-Keller, leading up to meeting Keller, was started in college where I helped friends of mine in a band carry their equipment in. So I was able to dance all night.
Nice.
And then when I moved to Steamboat, a friend of mine from college also moved out to Steamboat, and he was a guitar player. And so I started sort of helping his bands.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because you were the guy that did the last time, and then you're like, well, I know how to do that.
Well,
and then
I
you
sort
get
of
around as that guy.
But no, you know, it's just, again, a way of helping out and being able to get into the bars. And
uh-huh. That's genius. You know, I was trying to get into the bars, but I never thought to start, you know, helping the musicians.
Well, again, it wasn't like I was underage or anything, but it just, you know, I was with the band.
I think that's awesome. I love it. Okay, so that's kind of how you got into the music industry.
Yeah, and then that just, I started doing that more and more, and then there's another local band that I spent the summer doing sound for them, and, you know, sort of figuring out how to do things.
Okay, so it was more that you were getting paid by the band, not the venue. Okay, I always kind of wondered how that worked on the back end. Like, if you followed the artist or like Lou does with Keller, or if it's like, hey, I work at that bar and I do their sound. You were the following.
It's at first.
Okay.
I was with the band. Then after I tried going back to college and Return to Steamboat is when I sort of started getting into. I bought myself a sound system, small sound system, just to start, and started learning that. And then I really learned how to mix sound was when I got a job at Murphy's Exchange, which is this little bar, sort of underground bar.
Oh,
it was downstairs from Main Street.
And nice.
It was right next to a bar called BW3, which is Buffalo Wild Wings and Weck. But now they're just Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh!
But we always used to call it BW3 or B-dubs. And Keller had sort of a regular gig there. But I never got to see him there. I'd heard about him, but never went to see him.
So you were like next door doing sound for other people while Keller's playing on another stage.
Oh. And then Keller was with, well, he formed a band called Acousta Lunaticle that had Willie Samuelson on bass, who still is in Steamboat playing bass, probably the best bass player in town.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then the drummer was Tony Kerr, who is an Australian.
Oh, wow.
Who isn't around anymore, but I don't know where he's at. But anyway,
you may know my buddy Tony
for him that night. And that's when
you may know my buddy Lockman.
I like this guy. And this was, I think, he did very little looping in that show. It was, I think, in the second set, he did a little bit of it. But it was just at the start of him. But, well, because I think when he played over at BW3s, he was playing by himself. But I think it was a lot more just straightforward playing. But I could be wrong on that one.
So the first time you did music for him was the first time you heard his music?
Yes.
Okay, so you were on the clock, and you just stumbled into this amazing moment.
Ever since then, I've always liked Keller and would, if I could, if he was around, I would go see him and do all that. And then, but it really, the Cellar Dwellers is where it really, my love of Keller really blossomed.
Aww.
Well, it was just so wonderful to see two shows a week.
It really was.
And entirely different shows every time. And it wasn't just like the same old
the
stuff.
The same set list. Yeah, kind of over and over. Okay, before we stray too far into the present, I wanted to go a little bit more into detail about when you first started enjoying his music. What's the first song you remember hearing him play on stage? I know that's pretty way far back. Not that I'm calling you old. Just I know that that history extends pretty far.
I'd have to listen to the archives.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember what the first song was.
That's valid. That's valid. I can't say I remember, and mine wasn't that long ago.
I remember when I first saw him, Freak was his first album out, and I remember getting that and listening to it. And then I'm not quite sure if Buzz was out yet. I think Freak and Buzz were out. And then soon after, Spun came out. And there were songs about Steamboat.
Oh.
And I think there were some on Buzz and some on Spun that were written when he was living there.
Wow.
So that was like Sleeping Giant. Unloading dog.
It don't look like that is letting out. Because the real thing is the deepness. I said the real thing is the deepness. I said the real thing is the deepness. It's sweet in the deep. The real thing is the deepness. I said the real thing is the deepness. But the real thing is the deepness. It's sweet in the deep.
Mm. That was just about an epic January in Steamboat. It snowed 224 inches that January.
So you were in Steamboat when that happened?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so amazing.
Places in the Sierra Mountains that get 10, 20 feet of snow in one storm.
Holy shit. See, that's so mind-boggling to me, I can't process it. And when I thought that might have been the case for that song, I'm like, there's no way that happened. I couldn't believe that that was based off of a real thing, even though it was a very convincing story in the song. Wow. So, like, did you guys just kind of buckle down and wait for it to melt? Like, how would you shovel all that
snow? We did a lot of shoveling to keep the driveways clear, and then we would go up and just ski the deep powder.
Oh, you played with it. That's where I wasn't. I'm like, I would die if I was in that much snow. I can't fathom it.
If you know how to ski, it's lots of fun.
And that's why people live in Colorado, because they like to ski.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not in Colorado. I've actually never skied. Cat! Now you want to bond with Locke while he's covered in wire?
No, he tripped over the wires.
He's not a graceful cat. Beautiful, but not graceful. Okay, so that's really cool about that song. I had no idea. Like I said, I assumed it was real, but it's really cool that like you have memories of that same incident, that same occurrence. Oh my God, I love it. All right, so we talked a little bit about that. Well, okay, here's a good question. Who'd you meet first, Keller or Lou?
I met Keller first.
Keller, okay.
That was pre-Lou.
Oh, well, really? Oh,
well,
wow.
When he was in Steamboat, Lou wasn't in the picture at all.
Oh, I guess I don't know their history. I mean, no, I don't know it.
I remember I talked with Lou about it a little bit. He just started doing a few gigs with Keller, and then it became a full-time gig.
Wow. I've accepted it as fact that it never not existed. Like, they were always together. Like born together.
They seem like that.
They do.
But
wow. So you met Keller before Lou was with him. Wow. Okay. So let's talk about the first time you met him. So what was that like? What was the interaction? And why was the interaction? Uh-oh. You don't remember, do you?
I don't really remember. I mean, the first time it was just a gig.
Yes. Yes, that's true. That'd be like a local guy that was like, hey, I'm playing at the bar on Friday. You want to come? I'm like, no.
And I was, that was a case where I was working for the bar.
Oh, so, okay.
And Keller played. And I had known Willie from other bands in town. He'd been around, did quite a bit. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So
Murphy's Exchange is where I really learned how to mix sound.
I've seen that name on Archive.
Yes. That's where I'd have to go back to see what the first song was. But
not a problem. I just wanted to see if you did. I didn't assume you did, but I'm not assuming you don't have any of these memories. But
I don't have any really memories of the interaction with me and Keller. But ever since then, you know, he knows who I am because of the early I remember once Lou started working with Keller, I'd talk to Lou more like before the gig while he's setting up.
Yeah.
You know, well, because we were sort of both doing the same. We're both in the same business for that.
So you were there as the bar employee and he was there as the musician employee and you were just working together.
Yeah.
Synchronously. Yeah. I don't think that's the real word, but whatever. Okay, so that's pretty cool. So you guys were just familiar with each other from working together, basically. You're like work buddies.
Then, you know, after I did sound for him the first time, I would go, even if I wasn't working, I would go check him out.
Okay.
I definitely liked his music.
I figured there was a point where it wasn't just a work friend. Like, it was more than just, I'm on the job.
That was just the first encounter was work. And I think I did... that band in Murphy's like twice.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
It's like, oh, I like this music.
Yeah. Wow. So that's pretty cool, because that'd be like, man, I'm going to work when I'm not working. Like, not a lot of people do that, but you got to do that and go see Keller. And I think it would have been fun too to like see Keller's career grow, because by the time I got into him, you know, all the Stone College kids were playing Doobie in My Pocket and parties, and it's like they weren't really into him, but they recognized the song. So I think it would have been really cool to be like, there's that guy that I worked with at the bar. Now he's got albums and he's touring across the country. What was that experience?
Again, he kept putting out new albums, and he would come back to Steamboat regularly and play. So mm-hmm. I did get to see him a lot in Steamboat.
Did you work with them every time they came back to the area?
No, it was only, I think, the first couple of times.
But still. That'd be pretty cool. Be like, hey.
But yeah, always, you know, say hi to him and he'd know who I was and say hi back.
That's really cool. So let's transition a little bit more into the modern times. How did COVID affect you, if it did affect you?
It didn't really affect me that much. As I tell everybody, I've been practicing the isolation for decades. Most of my life, I've lived by myself. Mm-hmm. When COVID came around, it was like my life pretty much stayed the same, except I just didn't go to town as much.
I have to admit, Locke, when I picture your house, I picture a little hobbit dome in the Shire. Like, if you told me you lived in that, I would not be surprised.
I thought about it when I was designing my house, but that, it wasn't very practical.
Okay. So there's a reason you don't live in a hobbit hole. Okay. Okay. So life didn't change too much. What drove you towards the cellar? How did you hear about it for the first time? If you remember.
I'm just...
Because from my memory, you were always there. I remember when a lot of newer people came on. Like, I remember Dex. I remember Mr. Charlie. But it's like, I think you've been there from day one.
Could have been. Oh, I know. It was the website Jambait.
Okay. Yeah.
I always used to look at that. And I saw under live streams that Keller was playing. And I went, oh, okay. Yeah. Check it out. I think I caught episode 2.
Oh, wow.
You know, again, I knew throughout the years, I'd seen him maybe once a year or once every other year.
Yeah. How far did you usually go for a show? Like, did you have a distance range?
No, it's just what was practical.
Makes sense.
I do remember seeing him at State Bridge.
Mm-hmm. How far away is that?
It's about an hour away south of Steamboat.
That's not bad. Okay. So it didn't have to be in your backyard, but it wasn't like across the state.
No.
Okay. So when you saw that Keller was performing live, was it kind of like, did it, I don't know, get you excited? Like, hey, there's that guy I've worked with before and like, I really like his music. Like,
well, I didn't really think about it him as much as somebody I'd worked with before. Mm-hmm. It was more just somebody I liked his music.
Okay.
But I saw he was playing. It's like, oh, I gotta check this out. You know, cause it was sort of the beginning of all the streaming things.
Yes.
And it's like, and after the first show, I think I missed, like in the first 10, I saw maybe 5. Just, mm-hmm. I think there were other things going on.
Yeah, it was kind of, the area
and
was flooded.
I didn't schedule my life around Keller yet.
Yes, I like that. Yeah, there was a couple episodes where I was like, I don't know if I'm going to, you know, keep putting time into this. But yeah, so we've all had that moment. So we'll forgive you.
And then it was like everyone from then on.
Oh, that's awesome. Before the cellar, what kind of music were you listening to?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. It was, you know, I'm always favored towards classic rock, but up until like the mid-70s.
Oh, okay. So real classic rock.
I can't even think of 80s and 90s as being classic rock.
It does not count. I don't know who decided to change that, but they're wrong. They're just wrong. I completely agree.
Always loved progressive rock. Mm-hmm. Like my first concert was Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Oh.
Right after Brain Salad Surgery came out. Mm-hmm. And that was an awesome show.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's amazing.
And I'm trying to think. The first album I bought to myself was the Greatest Hits of Three Dog Night.
Nice.
And that was a sort of a band that they did a lot of covers that I didn't know were covers, but they got me into the music. Mm-hmm. They did some Traffic songs and Otis Redding. And
that's kind of a good analogy for my experience with Keller. Like, I wasn't listening to any other jam band music, but because of some of the covers he played, I'm like, oh, like Lizards and Fish. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it was a Fish song. And then when I found that out, I was like, well, are there any other songs of theirs that I like? So I've been exploring because of his music and his covers. So I appreciate that story. Anyway, I'll let you finish it now.
Then when I started working and doing sounds, I usually just sort of picked up on bands that I liked. And I got to get in on the sort of the jam band early scene in Colorado. I had some friends in a band called Wall of Windows. Mm-hmm. That the drummer and bass player ended up playing for Leftover Salmon.
Oh, my God.
So that's how I got introduced to them.
Wow.
And I ended up helping finance Bridges to Burt.
Oh, my God. Get that out. Wow.
And then so
that's
that
really
introduced
cool.
me to them. And I also got to meet all the people, String Cheese, back when they started.
Wow. Holy cow, dude. Okay. Do you know anybody that's not a musician? Like, do you have any friends that are not musically inclined?
Yes, but they're theater people.
Oh, okay. I figured there was another avenue. Yeah. That's funny.
Both sort of in the same sort of vein. Those are pretty much my friends.
That's what you gravitate towards. Although you don't come off as a musician theater type, but you surround yourself with them. Just a fascinating tidbit.
Well, I can't act and I can't play music, but I can make actors and musicians sound and look good. So I found my niche, not being able to do what they do, but I could help them do what they do.
You could support them in their role. That was your goal in life, was to support the musicians and artists.
And the few times I tried doing some getting on stage, it's usually a massive stage fright.
Oh, really?
My brain sort of just shuts down, and I was MC for an improv show, and everybody said I did okay on it, but I was like terrified. Being in front of the audience was
wow.
I realized that it was not my place or desire to be on stage.
Exactly. Some people have a craving for it and some people just don't. And we can't force those people, just don't want to do it. All right. So we talked a little bit about how the Cellar changed your life. Do you have a favorite Cellar moment?
All of them.
I know, right? Right? It's a really crappy question, really.
When he finally did a Cat Stevens song
for
me and put my name into it.
Like it's a wild world. Always remember you just like a child. Like McShane, it's a wild world. Always remember you just like a child. I've seen a lot of what the world can do, and it's breaking my heart in two. But I never want to see you sad.
I thought that's really what is so special about Keller, is his ability to improv and sing and put what's around him into a song right at the moment.
I know, right? Oh my God, it's pretty epic. So I forgot about that. You were pretty excited.
I tried for a long time to get him to play something, and he finally did.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty awesome. I love
it. I mean, the shout outs each time is just, we all look forward to that. And how is he going to do it?
Yeah.
And then, there were a couple of times I mixed up my name. I'm trying to remember. I can't even remember what was between Locke McShane and Mock Lickshane. There were, I had something
locked.
Else.
Oh, I
lockdown.
Know. I say, I remember it. Yeah, because I heard it the other day. I was listening to Archive, and he said lockdown McShane. I was like, oh, that's right.
I almost had forgotten that one.
Yeah, because I thought that was pretty good too. But yeah, when he said Mock Lickshane, I thought that was so funny.
It did throw him the first time. I
Yeah, that was pretty good. Alrighty, so what do you envision the future of going to shows is going to look like for you?
Oh, it's going to look great.
Aww.
Except I really did enjoy going to shows when we were socially distant.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. You got to buy a table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so yes. You had a table and a chair to sit on at the venue that was yours, and you weren't fighting for a table and go up to the bathroom and all of a sudden a group of people have taken over your table. And
you know, that's a really good point. I've been looking at it from a different perspective. I thought of it as a negative because I only needed one seat and you'd have to pay for four tickets to get the table. I'm like, I don't have three friends that are going to go. I did the math in my head. I don't have three friends that'll go with me. So I had to either pay for one ticket and sit with weirdos that I don't know, but I couldn't even do that. But I had a hard time buying tickets. Like, was it the drive-in show? I was going to go to, played in Scranton, and I bought enough tickets for a car full. And I'm like, I should not have to be paying this for one person in a car, but I did. But then the show got canceled or moved to the next date, and we were heading back the next day, so I couldn't stay. So I missed it. I think I got a refund, but like, it just was like, I didn't want to pay for all those tickets. A car full got cheaper price than I did. But, you know, it was weird time, so we did weird things. But I never thought about it from that perspective, as I had my car to myself.
I didn't mind. I mean, it was okay for me to pay a little more, you know, if I had to.
Yeah.
To get to...
I'm a cheap ass.
Well...
I don't normally spend lots of money on shows, so this is... It's a very... What's the word I'm looking for? Superfluous? No, I don't think that's the word I want. It's a very luxurious purchase for me to buy show tickets, and to do it so many times in a row in faraway locations. This is a new adventure financially for me. I'm
right.
Gonna throw that out there.
And I was able to afford to pay for more than one ticket if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess that would change the whole perspective of the situation.
You know, okay. I mean, I was at the point where I was paying top dollar for really good seats.
Mm-hmm. You're guaranteeing that good spot and that nice quiet alone time. Although I have to admit, Mr. Locke McShane, when we were in Goochland together, I was sitting beside you and you really liked to talk during a show. And I kept thinking, I'm like, I should really just tell him I can't talk. But
I usually don't really talk during a show because usually I can't hear well enough to...
because it was outside.
And I think Goochland was just so different anyway because it was the first time meeting all you guys in person.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty
crazy.
For
real.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I definitely talk more. I mean, everybody comments. A lot of times I'll be reading a book during a show.
Oh, really? Wow.
Well, it's like listening to the music. It's sort of the one thing I can really multitask on.
Really?
I can read a book and still hear the music.
Yeah.
And...
Wow. See, I guess I didn't realize that's a skill people had. Like, I know my husband can read a book while eating ramen noodles, so that's a thing that people can multitask. But like, if I'm reading something, I can't be doing anything else. And I think that's why I don't like to read. But, like, I do really like to have music in the background when I'm doing other fun things. So I guess it would be you just have to teach your brain to absorb music and reading. I just never got that skill, I guess. So
yeah.
I'm impressed.
And I will admit there are times when I'm working and mixing music and I've reached the point where I don't really have to do much to... Lou is really right on top and really sort of micro tweaking things.
Wow.
But I don't have as good ears as Lou. So I was always said I want Lou's ears and everybody thought I wanted to cut him off.
Well, yeah, it does sound
no,
really
I just want his ability to be able to really hear what needs to be changed.
You know, that's a good point because when you watch him with that iPad or whatever tablet thing, it almost is like an artist painting. Like he's processing it and trying to like perfect it like a piece of art, the way he does that. I never thought about that before.
And I've found when I try to perfect things get worse. So I don't I make it sound good and don't try to mess with it too mm-hmm. much.
Oh, so he's perfected
but
that.
But also he yeah. knows Keller's music so well that mm-hmm. I did most of my mixing sort of as one-offs.
Okay.
I didn't know the music well enough to know, okay, this part needs this. Mm-hmm. And it's a sort of a whole different thing. There is only one band I sort of did regularly in Steamboat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then I could start playing around with effects and stuff because I knew what was coming up and yeah. what needed to be put there. But if I'm okay. just doing a person for the first time and probably the only time, mm-hmm. you know, I get it set so it all goes pretty well. I'm sort of listening, oh, okay, we need a little more guitar in this and mm-hmm. stuff. But I can sort of do that with half my brain. And
that sounds really complex. So it's kind of like singing along with the song in a way, because you have to know the words to sing along. So the more you know the words, the better you can tweak it to sing with the yeah. music. Oh, yeah. That's really cool. I never thought about it that way. Wow. Alrighty. We've gone over all of my questions. Is there anything else you want to, any other great Keller stories you feel like sharing? I'm sure you have millions. Okay, did you hang out with Keller after the show ever?
I'm sure I did those first couple of gigs at Murphy's, but mm-hmm. again, that was...
Nothing really stands out as...
Well, we were talking 97, so...
that was kind of a while ago, yes.
Over 20 years ago, so...
yeah, I completely understand. I'm just checking to see if you had any memories.
Right. Well, the last time I saw Keller live was at Winter Wondergrass.
Oh.
2019. All is just another brick in the wall. All is just another brick in the wall.
I think I almost went to that.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have probably have never known you were you if I'd seen you there.
Right? Like, it makes me wonder who else I've been to shows with and didn't know they were there.
It actually was the Thursday night dinner that they hold every year at the top of the gondola.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also playing at the festival on the main stage with the Keels.
Oh.
But I had to miss that show because I had to work at the Chief because we had Second City Comedy Troupe at the Chief. And I sort of, I had to work that. But.
Oh, that hurts. Oh. But yep, that was a different time. I get you.
Let's see what else. Talking about the Keels, I met them way back when I was touring with Leftover Salmon.
Mm-hmm.
They had a band called McGraw Gap.
Wrong.
Actually, it was just Larry. Jenny wasn't playing it. The bass player was Will Lee. And then who else was on that band? Danny Nicely played mandolin. John Flower, I think, was a bass player.
Mm-hmm.
But he also did a bluegrass song in Chinese.
Oh, my God.
It's on the album.
Oh, my God. I'm really curious about what that sounds like.
But so I've known the Keels for...
Oh, wow.
I think longer than I've known Keller.
Wow. Okay. Would they recognize you if they ran into you?
Oh, totally.
Oh, my God. That is so cool. Oh.
Yeah. They know me very well.
Wow. Did you ever do work with them? Is that how you knew them?
Again, meeting them just with Leftover Salmon. And then I do remember they played in Steamboat with Keller.
Mm-hmm.
At the Smokehouse. Yeah, and Larry totally knew who I was. And
that's really cool.
Oh, I had another thought. Well,
I never thought about showing the Keels appreciation. Like, they're just as awesome.
I hate it when I have thoughts and then they're gone.
You think it'll circle back or should we move on?
Let's move on.
Okay, all right. So, like I said, I don't have any other questions for you. You think we're ready to wrap this up?
I think so.
Okay, I've drained your brain of enough Keller thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess one other thing, I don't seem to be quite as addicted to Keller as a lot of the...
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, it's... I don't jones when not by not hearing him.
Okay, so you're not one of those people that have him playing in your headphones literally 24/7?
No,
that's not why you want hearing aids to play music in your ear. Okay.
I mean, a lot of times when I'm at home, I'm listening to NPR rather than music.
I can see that. That does not come as a surprise to me, sir.
It's just learning stuff about the world. I'm always so.
Yeah, I get that.
I probably should. Sometimes I think I should turn it off and listen to music instead.
Hey, if you're enjoying it, that's all that matters. I just know I don't like NPR because I don't like the way their mouths click into the microphones. They're clicky. They're like, I hate it. I hate it so bad. I'm like, please stop talking. Like, I don't even care what the content is because all I hear is their clicky little mouths. Ugh, that's my rant. All right. I was gonna say something and then I lost it.
So we both have this.
it. All right. Well, that worked out. We canceled out a whole half of a conversation. Oh, so what draws you to the crawl space and the cellar dwellers, if it's not the music specifically?
Well, it's a lot of it is the music, and the other part of it is it's just a wonderful group of people that I've met and gotten to know.
I know, and now you're sitting in my living room.
You know, we've become family.
Mm-hmm. It's strange how that connection. I remember when we first started like getting the group going, I was like, oh, this is going to be fun for like 2-3 months. And then everybody's going to go do normal things. And well, you know, like I figured within 6 months, I'd be the only one in Discord, like watching the tumbleweeds roll across the screen. So it surprises me every day that it's still growing and it thriving. Did you know oh my God, you're not on Facebook. The Facebook group has like 350 members.
I did not know that since I avoid Facebook.
Yes. The Facebook group has over 350 members. This is me telling you. I looked at that today and I was like, holy crap. Like, what started with like 6 of us, like being dorks, having fun. And now we've got a herd of people that are awesome. Just awesome. So I was very excited about that. All right. I'm going to go ahead and bid you adieu so we can wrap this up. So thank you so much for coming to my house and hanging out with me and having dinner with my horrible children and recording a podcast.
They weren't that horrible. They were just being kids.
He hid under the table.
Well, that's being a kid.
It's embarrassing. All right.
Oh, there are way more embarrassing things that a kid can do rather than hiding under the table.
That's valid. I'll give you that.
Because the other people didn't really see that at all.
That's true. It was contained to just us, thank God. Alrighty, sir. Well, thank you very much and have a good day, I guess. I don't know how to end my podcast. Alrighty, so for today's random Keller Jam, I went to one of the BW3 shows that's on archive. In fact, the only one I could find is from 2/13/1997. And if you go through the playlist, it's a pretty awesome playlist. It's got that Garnish song that I played as one of the random Keller Jams. I had to throw this in there when I saw this on there. It has a version of Lizards. And since I mentioned it in this episode, I figured, why not? Why not enjoy listening to... Did I do that already, though? No, I didn't do Lizards. Yeah. So why not enjoy one of my favoritest ever songs? So this is Phish's song, Lizards, and it's a pretty great version. So enjoy. If you'll excuse me, I'm going to go smoke some pot and go buy some birthday presents for my son. Next week's episode is Floydian Trooper. Should be good. All right. Peace, love, and K-Dub.
Passing through the corridor, I came upon an aging knight who leaned against the wall in all the armor.
his way to see the king. Hey, Wilson, Wilson, Wilson. He led me through the streets of Prussia talking as he tried to crush a bug that scurried underneath his booty. He led me through the forest by the edge of a lagoon to which he wandered, and he reached a lovely spring. The night grew very quiet as we stood there. He lifted up his visor and he turned to me and he began to sing. He says, I come from the land of darkness. He says, I come from a land of dreams. He says, I come from a land of games and the land of the big baboon. But I never, never going back there, and I could not if I tried. Cause I come from a land of lizards, and the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have died. Of people practically extinct from doing things that smart people don't do. He said he was once a lizard too. His name was Rutherford the Brave, and he was on a quest to save his people with a fate of death to live for them. The dreadful end was dreadfully near. Well, the lizards would be saved, he said, if they could be enlightened by the writings of the helping friendly book. And all of Steamboat only one existed. And Wilson had declared that any person who possessed it was a crook. He says, I come from a land of darkness. He says, I come from a land of doom. He says, I come from a land of games and the land of the big baboon. But I never, never going back there, and I could not if I tried. Cause I come from a land of lizards, and the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have died. And the lizards, they have died. Woo! It seemed possessed the ancient secrets of eternal joy and never-ending splendor. The trick was to surrender to the flow. Walking along underneath the moon, he led us to the bush too soon. We saw with our eyes a raging river. He said we could swim it if we tried. Duh. Forgetting that his suit of arms would surely weigh him down, and so he sunk. And as his body disappeared before me, I bowed my head in silence and remembered all the thoughts that he had thunk. He says, I come from a land of darkness. He says, I come from a land of doom. He says, I come from a land of games in the land of the big baboon. But I'm never, never going back there, and I could not if I tried. Cause I come from a land of lizards, and the lizards, they have died.